We've just had the election, right?
Right.
There's a new script, right? Talk us through the sort of the net impact of the election in your mind.
Right. So a reminder that I always put out in these things, I do not support either political party. I hate them both equally for over three decades.
We're apolitical.
It doesn't matter. You know, whoever's in office is a schmuck.
Good morning. Welcome to the North Point of View here with Dr. Walter Kimsies. Walter, how are you, man?
I am good. How are you, Mark?
Great.
What a good day today, huh?
Yeah, and I, you know, I just, the last podcast, we sort of rolled through the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. And I just, man, I appreciate the way that you're able to sort of distill all the information to the purified few droplets of water and give us sort of the, you know, the bottom line without the hype, right? And the way that you sort of, on the last podcast, were able to talk us through sort of the cycle. And actually the way that I tend to lean is more optimistic, and you always bring me back to reality.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, yeah, there's some big road ahead, but don't get going too fast.
Nah.
And, you know, commodities, prices being pushed up, potential for, you know, another ratchet up in interest rates. But before we get too far down the road, we've just had the election. Right?
Right.
There's a new script, right? Talk us through the sort of the net impact of the election in your mind.
Right. So a reminder that I always put out in these things, I do not support either political party. I hate them both equally for over three decades.
We're apolitical.
It doesn't matter. You know, whoever's in office is a schmuck. Okay.
Apolitical blues by Little Feet. That's
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, many years ago, I made a mistake of not liking who was in the White House, and I didn't like their policy or their politics, and I jumped the gun and made a stupid forecast. You learn from that.
Yeah.
Or you perish, right? You know, you fix it or you die, and I fixed it, so I'm still here.
Yeah, you are.
So let's take a look at the Biden, what happened under Biden. Let's take a look at what it's likely to happen under Trump. So under Biden, we passed the IIJA, that was the Infrastructure Investment for Jobs Act. And then we passed the Inflation Reduction Act.
Which did the opposite.
Yeah, well, I did not. Yeah, exactly. It was. I mean, I don't know where inflation fit in there. There was this thing about lowering drug costs, which I like because, you know, my family, some of the drugs are now cheaper. But it didn't really lower the inflation rate that much. To that, we give some credit to the Federal Reserve, grudgingly.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, but.
Oh, yeah.
But so under Biden, a lot of money got spent on infrastructure.
Right.
Some of it was appropriately spent for national security reasons. And this is not a pick on China or Russia or any of the other, you know, Iran, North Korea. It's just simply that during COVID, America was smacked in the head with a 2x4 with an important lesson. You cannot depend on the world economy to do what you want it to do. And if COVID hits and you don't have enough masks and you don't have enough medical equipment and the whole world has got COVID, if you snap your fingers, guess what the answer is? Get lost. And so we struggled. I had a box of rubber gloves at home, and I took them to Memorial and I handed it to the first nurse I saw. We didn't have enough gloves here in town. So, you should make that stuff in your own country. If you're going to have an emergency in the DOD, the Department of Defense made a list and they said, this is the stuff that.
And there has been a big shift there, right?
There has.
Yeah.
And then we get this IRA. And the IRA says, we need to make everything here. We need to make the electric vehicles here, but they have to be made with American stuff, which, as you and I've talked about before, is impossible.
Right.
We don't make all of the components that go into anything. Even that nice sweater you're wearing, so what if it was knit or sewn in North Carolina? The zipper didn't come from here. We don't know how to make zippers anymore. That went to Hong Kong or something. Okay. So we had to relearn how to make all of these components. And they also had to be green. And if you look at all of the big port infrastructure projects and everything related to transportation, there is a green tinge to it. And, you know, in my mind, it's kind of unnecessary and it's a fake. Oh, yeah, we're putting in, you know, truck charging stations here. We're going to switch to electric trucks. Yeah, well, because the trucks struggle to go very far in a charge, they have to stay parked and getting charged a lot. And I don't know that this reduces congestion in any way, shape, or form. I think it worsens it. And, you know, you still have to use the internal combustion engine trucks to make up for what the electric trucks can't do. And you're spending money on infrastructure to charge these trucks that, quite frankly, are not ready for prime time. They're just not, the batteries aren't ready. The technology isn't there.
And the wrapper's off of that. I mean, I think the headline this morning was Ford is laying off another 4,000 workers worldwide, and they're losing $5 billion in their EV division this year.
You remember what our friend Jim Newsom said to us? Yeah. He went to Central Georgia for some golf tournament with a bunch of people that are outside of my income range.
Yep.
And he looked in the parking lot, and there were tons of Ford pickups.
F-150s.
150s. And how many were F-150s? Zero.
None.
Okay. Is that because they were relatively conservative, Red Party voters? No. I did the calculation, and I'm like, I can't drive an electric vehicle. I go drive up to Washington to visit my son every so often, and I could get stuck someplace.
Can't get there from here.
No. Nah. And anyways, everything about the Inflation Reduction Act was about coming up with some green tinge to whatever you would invest in. And that's going to come to an end. And it should come to an end. It was politics over economics. And as an economist, I have to be unhappy over it.
Yeah, so, it's Trump, the image rather than the structure, right?
Oh, exactly.
And we got in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to get money for this. We're investing in that. And it's good for the environment. You know, well, I know the IRA says only put money in stuff that's good for the environment. And as a consequence, we way overbuilt EV manufacturing capacity because it's good for the environment. But, consumers didn't buy it. And they failed to convince the consumer. There were other things that should have been invested in for manufacturing in the U.S. that didn't get done. So 60% of all of that boom in construction spending, construction on manufacturing, was for EV and EV-related stuff. Some of it's good, some of it was too much. And then the rest should have been for medical equipment, pharmaceuticals, other things that when, the proverbial crap hits the fan, you can, use the Defense Procurement Act and tell American companies to make these things that we need because of a national emergency.
Well, let's flip
the script
now.
You can't call Brazil and say, give us your masks. You can't call China and say, give us. No, they needed their masks.
So now as we move into the next 4 years of Trump, what do you see? What's the pivot? What's the lane we want to be in?
Right. So how far we go away from trying to worry about the environment is we'll see.
Right.
We know Trump likes the carbon, emitting industries. So whether or not that goes through is one story, because he may like it, but if the market doesn't buy it, it ain't going to happen any more than it happened with Biden.
Well, and his right-hand man, Elon's got something to say about that too, right?
Yeah, exactly. and Elon invested heavily here. Well, that's a really good point.
So what's the blend? What do you see?
What we're going to see in the infrastructure is a return to something we witnessed between 2016 and 2020. And I was irritated with Trump, but I have to admit that his attitude was better than mine was. Under Trump, the Tiger grants, which I don't know why they were renamed infra grants, but they became prioritized to the private sector. So I worked for Sparrows Point. Then they did some development that's called Trade Point Atlantic.
Yep.
And it was it's a 3,500 acre, and they bought another 500, so it's like 4,000 acres.
That's Baltimore,
now.
Right?
Yeah, in okay. Baltimore. As you go down the Patapsco River, and it was outside their Francis Scott Key Bridge that, you know, that ship knocked down. So they have a place to do bulk. They started doing bulk, and that's what I originally told them they needed to do. Then go to Roro. And now MSC, under their terminal operating division, TIL, they're building on Coke Point there. It has to do with coke, as in making steel, not the kind that goes up your nose, or that you drink. So the Coke Point.
Thanks for clarification.
Yeah, exactly. So be careful. What were these people?
That's a different podcast, by the way.
So they're going to build a 400-acre terminal. They got 100 miles of rail track. They connect to both Norfolk Southern and CSX. CSX is just about done with Howard Street Tunnel and the clearances on a few bridges. And for the first time in history, Baltimore is going to be shooting trains, double stacked, from Baltimore to Chicago. And this is going to create a lot of competition with Norfolk and New York over the intermodal volumes. But, you know, this was a private sector-led effort. But the state of Maryland, the federal government, and CSX each ponied in something like $75 to $100 million to get it done. Terrific. And at Trade Point Atlantic, we showed that we're going to improve the infrastructure. And when we did the economic impact study, now I do this differently than any other economist. They get these multipliers from a company like Implant, and they go, well, if you spend the money here, you're going to create so many direct jobs and so many induced jobs and so many indirect jobs. And then I always look at these reports and I go, where are these jobs?
Right.
They don't say, because they can't. Their data, their models, and their thinking isn't there. So you grab other data and you see where the stuff goes to from the port, where it comes from to the port, and those origins and destinations is where the jobs are. That cargo that you can handle more of in the port supports more jobs in there. So we then wrote nice letters to senators and representatives and said, you want to pressure the DOT to give us money here, because look at the jobs we support where you are.
And that's an echo of what we've seen so brilliantly done in the Savannah port.
That's right. And up to date?
Yeah.
Up to that date, they got $144 million, and it was the largest grant ever under the Tiger/Infra program. And we're going to go back to that. The belief of the supporters from Donald Trump is let the private sector do the job. And where the public sector should pay for its share of the benefits, so their benefits accrue to the private and the public sector. Private sector pay for yours, we will pay for the public sector. And we're going to go back to that, Mark. That's what I see happening.
And you don't.
And no green.
And okay. You don't see an instant sort of, set of fireworks like we had these announcements of these EV plants. But what I have seen in Savannah is this sort of long-term commitment to this public-private partnership, where you've got smart leadership really investing in the long-term sort of rollout infrastructure that accretes to the local and regional economy, producing jobs. And now in Savannah, we've got a program that won't stop.
Exactly. So what I want to say to you is we need to invite Doug Marchand to do a podcast with us.
Yeah,
I started in ports in November of 2006, November 1st. In January of 2006, we had to come down to Savannah from New York, and we presented our findings and a plan and our forecast. If you do this, this is the kind of growth you'll see. And Doug Marchand loved it, and he took me for a walk. And Doug said, I like your economics. You don't know nothing about ports, but that's okay. We can fix that, okay? You're a smart guy. You'll learn something.
You don't know nothing about ports.
But he did say, you need to understand something. It's not about the port. And get this straight in your head. It's about the gateway.
Yeah.
Port, the railways, the highways, the waterways, and the industrial real estate.
Yeah.
Because then if the five don't work together, you've got nothing. And if you look at all the ports that are choking and struggling, it's because the five components aren't maintained in balance. Too much of one, they go broke. Too little of the other, and they're a bottleneck.
Yeah, choke.
And here, the GPA has, for the 20 years that I've been involved, or almost 20 years, carefully balanced.
Yep.
Working with the governor's office, Kemp has been not an exception, but a leader in this.
Yeah.
The DOT has been fabulous about it. The railroads, you know, well, look, we've got CSX now getting 11 great separations.
It's like the conductor of an orchestra, man. He's got everybody right on note together.
Right. And Griff Lynch inherited that from Curtis Volz, who inherited that from Doug, and it continues. This is a machine without equal.
Yeah.
It's America's greatest industrial secret.
We're going to be back to the rest of the Trump story in the next 4 years in the next podcast. Thanks for being with us. Thanks, Walter.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for your time.